This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Another strong move in the soy complex as we wrap up the month of July in the grain trade. Welcome into Market Talk. Thank you so much for joining us once again and make it as part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here as we wrap up the month of July. Hard to believe the calendar. Set the turn over to August as we get into next week. Final trading day of July. And we continue the uptrend we've seen pretty much all week long in the grain markets, led by that soy complex. Good strength in beans. Good strength in bean meal and bean oil as well. We did fade off the highs a little bit in the soy complex, but overall a fairly strong day there as we put more weather risk premium back into the market trade heading into the month of August, with this hot and humid ridge looking to set up over much of the central corn belt right at a critical time for the soybean crop. Meantime, we saw a little bit of pressure in wheat, especially spring wheat, kind of acting as an anchor after good yield estimates were found on the spring wheat tour across North Dakota. Speaking of that, we're going to talk to Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council, who puts on that tour. We're going to talk to him coming up at segment four and get his thoughts and analysis of what the tour found across North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota for spring wheat and durum. We'll take a look at the averages and more. Again, good numbers and part of that weighing on the wheat markets to wrap up the month of July. But we'll talk to Dave Green coming up in segment four. We're also going to talk about the markets as a whole as we wrap up the month of July with Kent Beadle of CHS Hedging. He's going to join us coming up in segment two and three to go over what he saw in the market trade on the day, as well as wrapping up the month. So stick around for that coming up as well. But first, we're going to get thoughts and comments from Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. We talk to Arlen every day for our midday commentary and always enjoy his insight into what we're seeing in the market trade. And we start the conversation, get Arlen's thoughts on the soy complex and the strength there, as well as then some of the pressure in wheat and in turn in corn. We talk the energy markets. We look at livestock wrapping up the month as well. All of that here as we have a conversation with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. Here is my conversation again, starting with the soy complex and the strength we saw to wrap up the week.
As we look at that August contract that's about to go into delivery, we put in our low on July 22nd at 1407 and three quarters, and today we've traded up to 1671. So it gives you a little bit of an idea how much we've rocketed that contract higher. Of course, we are about to go to the September contract as our lead contract, and it's trading better than a buck and a half lower, but still putting in some risk premium. August is the key month for soybeans, and the weather for August looking threatening right now. And so considering the big liquidation that we had in late June and then much of July, traders trying to put a lot of that risk premium back in.
Now, in the corn and wheat markets, wheat has backed off the highs a bit here as we've gone through the day. Corn holding relatively firm. What's your thoughts with corn and wheat here as we look to wrap up the week?
Yeah, as we look at the wheat market, Minneapolis slipping into negative territory at times, and that's really from the Wheat Quality Council tour of the North Dakota this week, indicating that the wheat crop is pretty good shape up there. And even with this high pressure ridge that's building, expected to start building in the Central Plains next week, they're still going to have those ridge running storms going through North Dakota and some of the Northern Plains and providing some showers. And the heat's really not expected to reach up in that area to excessive levels, kind of like it is expected in Nebraska, Iowa, and in other places further to the south and to the east. And so wheat doesn't have quite the weather story that corn and soybeans do. And so the softness in the wheat market, playing on corn a little bit, reducing the push higher as we start to make wheat a little bit more competitive in the feed bunk in some areas. Corn still seeing some double-digit gains at times. Still good support, still has a lot to lose if we keep these temperatures excessive without rainfall during the grain fill period of time. We're not looking at a crop failure, but we're certainly looking at pulling the top off of the crop.
Over in the energy market here today, Arlen, crude oil up a few percentage points on the day, around that $100 level, and I know bean oil as well is very strong today. And then the outside markets throw them into relatively firm today, it feels like. Any thoughts with what's going on in energies or the outside markets heading to the weekend?
Yeah, it's really interesting, though. There's been a lot of rhetoric lately that about the recent inflation numbers. Well, that was June, and we've seen commodity prices really come off since then. So, the bad part of inflation is really behind us. Now, crude oil is really stabilized in that $95 to $105 range. That's still pretty high. And look at gasoline prices and what they're doing now. They're up 50, 55 cents from what they were just last week as they trade on the futures market. And you look at the grain and oilseed markets. I mentioned soybeans up a couple of dollars, corn pushing higher, wheat trying to rebound, but particularly corn and soybeans. The structural issues behind these commodities really hasn't changed. We still have supply threats. We still have concerns going forward. And so while the July inflation numbers that will be reported next month will probably show quite a bit of moderation, the August numbers that are reported in September could see a jump back once again. We haven't changed the structural issues. We're still looking at inflation. And a lot of the fund managers are starting to realize that. In fears of recession hurting demand for commodities, they had reduced their positions dramatically in late June and in early July. Now they see the opportunity to get back in and protect and hedge their portfolios against inflation at much lower price levels than they're doing so.
And Arlen, real quick, livestock trade, cattle fairly mixed today, but hogs more strength in that August contract heading to the weekend.
Yeah, it's been wild in the hog complex. First of all, looking at cattle, feeder cattle certainly feeling the pressure of higher feed prices, although we've come off of our lows. Fat cattle trying to hold steady in here with cash cattle, mostly a dollar, maybe a dollar to $2 lower on a dress basis in the north this week, but trying to hold in there. But on the hog complex, is we're just seeing a tightness of product supplies. Cash hogs almost traded as high as cash cattle this week, before backing off and late in the week. So we're not seeing the numbers of hogs that we need because of some of the disease problems still in the herd. We're not seeing the performance that we'd like to see. Carcass weight's low because of the heat that we had in the Midwest. And those problems are simply going to be increasing again as we get into next week and the weeks after.
And again, that is Comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, talking with him earlier in today's session. Coming up, we are going to have a conversation. We're going to dive deeper into the markets here this week with Kent Beadle, Director of Producer Brokerage with CHS Hedging. He is going to join the program coming up here after the break as we take a look at this uptrend in the market, the weather risk premium that we're putting back in, and much more. We will get to that conversation with Kent Beadle from CHS Hedging. That's coming up next as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, let's take a look at the market trade as we wrap up the month of July. Good strength in the soy complex once again. Also seeing a bit of weakness in wheat and corn. Good strength in livestock to wrap things up, and energies as well. Plenty to discuss. Let's welcome in Kent Beadle with CHS Hedging. Kent, great to catch up with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate you having me on the show today.
Well, Kent, thanks so much for the time. Let's dive right in. Overall, this entire week has been a really solid week for the grains and oil seeds. What feels like a weather risk premium, especially for soybeans and corn being put back into this market trade. And again, to wrap up the week, soy complex, fairly strong, a bit off the highs, but still a fairly strong way to wrap things up. As you take a look at the markets as a whole, does it feel like it's been a very strong kind of weather-led rally here this week?
Well, I think it has. I do have to say that the leadership in the soybean complex has actually fallen on the August contract, which is up over $2 just for the week. Now, the November contract hasn't been left behind. It is up about $1.50 for the week. And, you know, clearly we're putting some weather premium in. But we're also going into first notice day, and the cash soybean market is still indicating that things are quite tight. We have a very sizable inverse between August and September soybeans. We have really nothing registered for delivery against that August contract. And it just suggests that, you know, things are pretty tight on the soybean balance sheet, maybe even a little tighter than what the USDA has been telling us, and of course they're going to give us a new data here in a couple of weeks.
Well, and you mentioned that August contract going into delivery. Let's stay focused on this soy complex here a little bit. You know, we see that strength there, but you look out, we're going to, you know, start going to September, and then obviously the November new crop contract. As you mentioned, though, a little bit of a discount here to August. I mean, do you think with continued weather risk and this heat ridge setting up, we could see some of what we've seen in this August contract roll to September and maybe November here as we move into August?
Well, I think so. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not the inverse gets large enough to where somebody might try to deliver against the August and then maybe take those receipts back against the September. Sometimes those sorts of games are played. We wouldn't be this way if cash markets weren't extraordinarily tight and if it wasn't difficult for end users to buy soybeans. Most of your audience is actually selling soybeans, even old crop beans, against the November contract. The spreads are really not necessarily impacting the cash. The August is not impacting the cash. But typically what happens is when you have a really tight situation and you have August and September gaining on November at this time of the year, it tells you that there's usually some pushes that can be had out there if you've still got some old crop beans to sell.
Kent, as well, the soy product market has been strong. Meal has been really on fire here this week. Bean oil as well has found some strength towards the end of the week. I know we saw a good strength in palm oil as well on the Dalian exchange. I mean, you look at the soy products in general here wrapping up the month. What are your thoughts there? Because it feels like a lot of support there as well.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I find interesting about all of this is that as we were breaking the soybeans on ideas that, you know, maybe the crop was a little bigger, the weather was getting a little nicer, which was the trade here, you know, just a week ago, essentially. The crush margins were still very strong, okay? And now we're seeing, as soybeans go higher, we're seeing the products, essentially keeping up. And doing a good job at maintaining a healthy crush margin for the processor. I think it's interesting that you're getting this type of action in meal because our domestic crush has been fairly strong, but there are concerns about availability of meal out of Argentina. They are the largest exporter. And, you know, obviously, even as we look ahead and start thinking not just about U.S. production, but about production in South America, we're still staring at a La Nina that seems to be going into its third year, and that has had impacts on South American production here to some degree each of the last couple of years. It definitely has traders nervous. And of course, when that happens, sometimes the cash markets reach for what they know is available, and that's receipts off the Chicago Board of Trade. And we've been seeing that type of activity this week.
Kent, let's take a look at the corn market. We've seen this scenario a couple times this week. We saw it to wrap things up was that, you know, beans were hot, moving to the upside. Wheat found pressure, moved lower. Corn kind of got itself caught in the middle, didn't know which way to go, follow beans or follow wheat. And that seemed to be the case here today. When you look at this corn market, what are your thoughts there as we turn the calendar to August?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I feel as though the break that we had recently brought us down into an area that probably represented some value to the end user. As markets were breaking, you know, we were still seeing margin in ethanol. We're still seeing margin, adding margin into hogs, still reasonable margin in cattle as well, and maybe stimulated a little bit of new crop export business. Our old crop export sales are weak. We all know that, but we've sold a very high percentage of what the USDA already has in its old crop balance sheet. So it really doesn't matter that much that we've slowed down old crop exports. I felt like we were in a value area, and you know, I think we stimulated a little bit of demand. Now, I think a lot of last week's break also was predicated on the idea that we were going to somehow magically be able to start exporting a lot of grain out of the Ukraine. You know, we had a fairly flashy agreement. It looked really good, like maybe something good was going to happen and we were going to be able to get some grain out of the Ukraine, primarily to get wheat out to help Africa and some of the poorer nations deal with the potential for famine. Unfortunately, as that ink barely dried, you know, we had a missile attack on Odessa last Saturday morning, and that really dumped an awful lot of cold water on this idea that we're going to be able to get a lot of grain out of the Ukraine. And since that time, you know, these weather forecasts look hotter. And while I think the corn is far enough along and in certainly better condition to weather these next couple of weeks, it's still going to have some impact on grain fill. And grain fill ultimately impacts yield. And if we're really going to be hot and dry for the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, I can't help but think that it's going to have some impact. So we were caught between the lower wheat today. And the thing that we got to remember about the wheat market is it's just so thin right now. It is very thinly traded. It trades rumors very readily. So if by chance today there was some rumors that maybe, you know, the Ukrainian agreement isn't dead and maybe there were still going to be some ships of some new crop Ukrainian wheat that we're going to manage to get to the marketplace, you know, I can certainly see that pulling down on corn. I do think that we need to take all of these rumors out of Ukraine with a bit of a grain of salt, because the difficulty at getting execution out of Ukraine right now is just really difficult. I can't imagine the cost of insurance. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be extraordinarily high if it can be gotten at all. The ability to get crews to work on ships that are going to have to navigate mines, some of which are anchored, some of which are floating, you know, taking extraordinary risk, you know, for the damage of those ships and for the lives of those crewmen. It just doesn't feel like it's going to be able to happen very easily. And of course, then there's a strategic component to that as well. And that is if Ukraine is able to guide ships out of Odessa, for example, you're essentially going to provide a roadmap for the, you know, the Russian Navy to be able to get in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they want that to happen. So, you know, for all those reasons, you know, I think that we have to be a little skeptical about just how much we're going to be able to get exported out of there while we're in the midst of hostilities still ongoing.
That's Kent Beadle, Director of Producer Brokerage with CHS Hedging. We'll continue our conversation coming up after the break. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Thanks for joining us today. Kent Beadle with CHS Hedging is our guest. We'll get back to Kent in just a moment as we, again, wrapped up the month of July with fairly strong numbers seen in the trade. These are Friday's closes, a few of them. August soybeans were up 27 3/4, 16.37. November beans were up 28, 14.68 1/2. August bean meal was up 5.60 a ton, 4.95.30. August bean oil up 276 points, 68.60. Now, again, a lot of the cash being based off September or November at this point, but still a lot of strength in the old crop front month there as we go into delivery. Corn for September up 1 1/4. Friday, 6.16 1/4. December was up 1.620. Wheat was lagging behind off the highs, well off the highs. September Chicago wheat down 9 1/4, 8.07 3/4. December down 9 1/2, 8.25 3/4. September Kansas City wheat was down 15 1/4, 8.74 1/2. December down 15 at 8.81 1/2. Looking as well over at spring wheat Minneapolis, that was a leader to the downside on Friday. September down 22 at 9.06. December spring wheat, that was down 21 3/4, 9.18 1/2. In livestock, August live cattle up 27, 136.45. October up 40, 142.22. August feeder cattle up 115, 178.57. And lean hogs, August up 152, 120.65. October up 90, 97.22. Let's get back to Kent Beadle with CHS Hedging here on Market Talk. And Kent, we had the spring wheat tour across the Northern Plains, and as everything you mentioned before the break about what's going on with Ukraine, and that's weight on the wheat market and corn. I would have to think the spring wheat tour was a bit of a weight as well, with fairly good yields found on the tour.
I agree with that. They did find good prospects up there. You know, I tend to believe that these are things that oftentimes are known. I don't know that we're surprised about good conditions. Obviously, we have a fairly sizable client base in North Dakota, and we talk with those growers, and they've been telling us for a long time now that, you know, things look mostly pretty good up there. There are a few areas that might be struggling a little bit with excess water in some areas and the lateness of how they got that crop planted, of course. But in general, we think it's going to be a good crop, good yield. We need good yields. We need good yields in corn and soybeans as well, because the truth is we're tight enough right now in the world that the world needs wheat, the world needs corn, the world needs soybeans.
Well, Kent, I want to make sure we have time for the protein sector here today. Cattle and hogs, pretty good finish to the week. This hog complex especially, I've used the term a few times this week, that August hog contract's like a freight train. It feels like it's a freight train running downhill. Just so much momentum in that front month hog contract right now. It seems to be the driver to the upside, Kent.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, when you start talking about a resumption of a hotter, drier forecast, your mind immediately wonders, well, is that going to have some impact on our protein production, rate of gain, and whether or not these animals are ultimately going to have a hard time keeping pounds on. And that, of course, impacts production. And that's part of what I think is our driver. You know, we've also just seen, you know, fairly consistently over the last number of months, packers having a hard time, you know, filling their projected kill levels and having a hard time getting their hands on pigs. And it just has indicated on a fairly consistent basis that there might not be as many hogs out there as we thought there were. You know, that's in the aftermath of what was a pretty tough winter with disease pressure and the like. And it just seems to have a really long tail in terms of how it's impacting the number of hogs available to the marketplace.
And in the cattle market as well, I think some of the same factors there. But with cattle, it seems a lot of people I talk to are still friendly cattle moving to, say, the fourth quarter, but yep. We're still waiting for some of those supplies to contract, it feels like, in this cattle market, but yet decent strength to wrap up the month.
Yeah. And, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, certainly about pasture conditions in the Southeast or the Southwest. I'm sorry. That's certainly an issue. I have cattle clients in Nebraska and Kansas that are really struggling with the availability and quality of grass to put those cattle out on. So that's had an impact. We've obviously seen placements into feedlots up as a result. There's a lot of talk that there is some liquidation that could be ongoing and that's going to show up in cattle numbers going forward. As a result, yes, there is a fairly bullish bias that has been in the market. And yet, if you look at the charts, you see an awful lot of sideways price action, right? You know, we go challenge the highs and then we set back again. And, we have relatively expensive cattle. Let's be fair. We do. But we have a price that's good enough to absorb some pretty high feed costs, because our margin calculations are still, reasonably decent as you look out the curve. So all of those things kind of tell you, we may have a little bit more room. But it also tells me that maybe we're not going to get the liquidation that some people think we're going to get, unless it's driven by drought. And of course, that's where the support from the weather this week sort of kicks in here again.
Kent, we got a couple minutes real quick. Outside markets, I know there's a lot there, whether we're talking stock market, monetary, energies, et cetera. We saw a second straight quarter of negative GDP growth here this week. We got the Fed news, which was as expected. Any thoughts with the outside markets and their impact on the ag commodities here as we wrap up the month?
Yeah, well, certainly there's a couple of things that are happening. First of all, the interest rate hike, as you mentioned, as expected, as anticipated. What's more interesting were the comments from Fed Chairman Powell, which tended to be fairly dovish relative to the second straight month of a 3/4 point interest rate hike. Essentially, they are realizing and acknowledging that there are parts of the economy that are in fact starting to slow down already. And you can see it in housing, and you can see it in a few other areas of the economy. He mentioned amount of money being spent, or the amount of food being consumed is being impacted by higher food prices. So it tells the marketplace that while the Fed is tightening, that it's already looking past to the point where it isn't going to tighten as aggressively. And if it turns out that we only end up at 3 or 3.5% with an interest rate, and that we then pause, I think the marketplace is okay and comfortable with that. And that's why you're seeing the stock market recover to the extent that it has. It essentially broke out last week to the upside ahead of the Fed meeting, and has obviously accelerated higher since that time. If we just have a period of steady but somewhat higher interest rates at a level in that 3% plus or minus area, I think people think that would be okay and probably reasonable for the situation we're in.
Well, Kent, great stuff as always. Any final thoughts, any advice you have for producers here real quick, maybe before we wrap things up as we move into August?
Yeah, well, clearly we've had a really good week, adding 60 or 70 cents to corn, adding 1.5 to new crop soybeans, plus or minus. I think that's a place where if you're a little behind in your marketing, you may want to take a look at making sure that you get yourself caught up. We pretty much have half this new crop marketed. We've been on pause here on this break, and depending on how the weather forecasts play out from here, we're going to be pretty quick to add if we start to see any break in the weather in terms of high temperatures or any increased moisture in the models.
Kent, I know as well, quick plug, you're going to be at Farm Fest in Minnesota next week speaking. You want to mention that as well for us real quick?
Well, yeah, I'm going to talk about some of the market disruptors that we've been looking at here as of late. So clearly the war has been a major disruptor to trade flows and had an impact on price. We're going to take a look at some of this outside market activity as well. The inflation that we've seen and the increased interest rates, and talk about that and its impact on our markets. And then finally, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the governmental things that have come down the pike, whether it be our state mandates around renewable diesel and the impact that's had. Also some of the water issues and the fertilizer issues that we've seen. There's an awful lot going on there in government regulation. All of them can be disruptive to some degree in terms of normal farming practice. And we're going to discuss those and the impact that those things have had on our markets.
Well, fantastic. If folks are going to be at Farm Fest next week in Minnesota, definitely stop and listen to Kent's presentation. And I know if folks want to learn more and maybe if they have some questions and need some advice with their marketing, chshedging.com, a great place to start. Kent, always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate your having me on the program.
And that's Kent Beadle again with CHS Hedging. Coming up next, we're going to get a recap of the Wheat Quality Council Hard Red Spring Wheat and Durham Tour. Dave Green from the Wheat Quality Council joins us after the break as we're back with more Market Talk right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council. Dave, great to catch up with you, sir. How are you?
We're doing great. Glad that we had a successful tour, and everybody, I think, learned a lot. We're glad to be on our way home.
Well, a successful tour indeed. I know getting the final estimates in, 49.1 bushels per acre for spring wheat, 39 bushels per acre for Durham. Those are pretty similar to what USDA has out there. Just in general, Dave, talk about the week. Talk about what you saw across parts of North Dakota and Minnesota as well. What did everyone see?
Yeah, I think that, it kind of gets prefaced by talking a little bit about the spring. They were coming out of a pretty wet winter, and they had started planting, and after about a week or 10 days of planting, they had a couple snowstorms and some rain, and so everything kind of got pushed back a couple weeks, I think the look of the crop is different than most years because there's diversity in stage of development. We saw wheat fields up there that are the wheat's ripe and crunchy in your mouth, which means that it could be harvested within the week. And then we saw fields during the week in the northern areas that are just heading. So, that's probably six weeks or so from harvest. So, it's kind of unusual to see that kind of lateness and range of development with the crop. But having said that, the crop looks great. There's no substitute for planting in all but muddy fields, and they've drawn on that good soil moisture all year. The crop is thick in most areas and healthy looking. It looks like they've got fertilizer on it. They've got their fungicides on it. And it just looks like a pretty healthy crop overall.
Well, and I would think with the lateness of the crop at this point, it's probably just going to be a matter of keeping disease pressure back, like scab, and keeping grasshoppers at bay, et cetera. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
Yeah, the grasshoppers are in the far west. Apparently there's enough of them to justify spraying. We met with a few growers who were spraying their borders, and one of them even did sprayed a couple fields to try to keep those counts down. But I don't think I think it's like the scab and the root rot and the smut and the things you'll always see, the stem maggots that we see every year. It's great to be able to see them because you can show people what's going on, but there was not much severity to anything. I mean, we found some scab fields where parts of the heads had the mold on them and were dead. But even in those fields, we're talking in the very low percentage of the field, and so we've got to see a lot of the issues that tend to crop up year after year, but I didn't think there was much severity to anything, including the grasshoppers.
And Dave, we see the projections again that you guys found 49.1 bushels per acre average after the 3 days. That is a little higher than USDA's initial spring wheat estimate. Do you think if everything goes according to plan, we're looking at a fairly record size type crop here in spring wheat? Obviously, we know that things are snug around the world with global food shortages and everything going on in the Black Sea, so we're looking for a bigger wheat crop out of the northern tier. I mean, do you think it's possible if everything goes according to plan?
Yeah, certainly the crop's getting better now day to day than it even has been a couple weeks ago. So the crop's still adding kernels. There's still a week or 2 weeks even for these fields to continue to fill properly, and so the weather they're having up there, in the 70s, I think they're going to have an occasional day into the high 80s or 90s even over the next few weeks, but it doesn't look like they're headed for extreme high temperatures that would top off the crop. I have every expectation that the thing they continue to have good grain filling weather for the next 10 days that the crop will be bigger. Yeah.
Well, Dave, I know as well, you mentioned to me before we went on the air, just overall, the weather you guys saw on the tour this week was almost optimal, almost ideal for everyone on the tour here. And I'm sure that is a blessing as you wrap things up and head home.
Yeah. And even you worry about scab because you get into that high humidity and in wet fields with, you end up with heavy dews and then high temperatures and there's that's not there. It's just very much what you'd expect. We were waking up and it was 63 degrees and didn't get to 70 until 10:30 in the morning. So it is unusually low humidity and low temperatures, which are just going to be perfect for the crop.
Well, Dave, we appreciate the time, and thanks for filling us in on what you found on this year's Spring Wheat and Durum Tour across the Northern Plains this week. And with that, I'll let you go. Safe travels home, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Enjoyed it.
Well, and again, that is Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council. Thanks to him for making some time to join us here today as they wrapped up the Spring Wheat and Durum Tour here across North Dakota and Minnesota. And again, that final average after the three-day tour, 49.1 bushels per acre for spring wheat and 39 bushels per acre for the Durum crop. And the spring wheat projection is above USDA's initial projection of 47 bushels per acre, while the Durum number from the tour slightly below USDA's July estimate, which was 40.3. Again, Durum coming in 39 bushels per acre, but overall still looking like a very strong crop across the northern plains. Well, again, as we wrap up the month of July's market trade, a strong day in the soy complex, although we did fade a bit off the highs, while quarter wheat especially under pressure after we saw those good tour results. And I was glad I could catch up with Dave to hear some of his thoughts and insight there. But we'll be turning our attention more to the weather forecast as we move into August. That's going to do it for Market Talk today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.